into a small dark Mercedes SUV. If you know where she is, call 911 or the Pelham Police Department. Montgomery police are hoping someone comes forward with information about a 2018 homicide. Stephen White Jr. was killed in the 5900 block of Monticello Drive. There is now a $5,000 reward for information in the case. And the Montgomery City Council has approved a motion to buy Garrett Coliseum from the state of Alabama. If Mayor Stephen Reed approves the motion, the city will have ownership of the Coliseum. The city was given a letter from Governor Ivey saying they'll grant funding for renovation and 112 acres of property. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
The folks at the Health and Wealth Show would like to know if you've ever wanted to own your own business. If the answer is yes, then get ready to take advantage of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Health and Wealth Show is giving you the business. Recently, a well-known local pizza parlor closed its doors, and now it's your chance to step in and take up where they left off. If this sounds like a good deal to you, well, you need to listen to the Health and Wealth Show. Weekday evenings from 6 until 7 on News Talk 93.1. We'll tell you all about it. And for even more information, call David Ernest at 334-279-7431. I dare say nothing like this has ever happened in the history of Montgomery radio. Don't quote me on that. I just can't think of anything. For all the details, listen to the Health and Wealth Show weeknights at 6 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 WACV. When the moon hits you, I like a big pizza pie. That's
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Cole. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
An individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, oh glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. one nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
43 degrees outside. Let me check out on the stock market there. Stock market is... ooh, wrong stock market. Is... come on. Down 132 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
Why didn't you give me a warning that it's Bad Drivers Day here in Montgomery?
Bad Drivers Day?
Yeah, because all the bad drivers.
I kind of wanted you to find out for yourself.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I knew you could handle it.
There was literally a lady in front of me. She was going so slow, the light turned green, and she was going 10 miles an hour and a 25 mile an hour zone, 10. And if she would have just gone the speed limit, we would have both met the light. But no. She stopped right in turn, and I was going like, didn't you see the light? I mean, don't you see that you need to go through the light?
Well, and you said she was what, 25, 30?
let me tell you, it was a AARP moment, without a doubt. Unbelievable. So, yes, Bad Driver's Day today. A little bit of rain happens in Montgomery, Alabama, and people go crazy. Okay. Well, it seems my corona concept is working.
Yeah?
Yeah, I haven't gotten the virus.
Good.
So, I got another case because I figured may need to hunker down. If everybody around me, you know, it's kind of like the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Everybody around me has coronavirus, that I need to be inside with my corona.
Well, I tried your medication and your recommendation, and I don't have the virus, but I'm a little hungover.
Well, touche. But see, you don't have coronavirus.
Right, right.
Okay, let me tell you, this is big. Wuhan is in lockdown in China.
We begin with the major new developments in China's coronavirus outbreak. Two major cities are now under lockdown as China races to contain the mysterious illness that has killed at least 17 people. Another city is shutting down all their train stations.
Quarantine orders affect more than 18 million Chinese citizens. The virus has infected nearly 600 people in at least six countries, including the U.S., where a second possible case was reported overnight in Los Angeles. Remy Innocencio is in Beijing. He left Wuhan, the epicenter of this outbreak, just before they closed off the city. Remy, what about the one confirmed U.S. victim?
Good morning. That's right. Health officials in Washington state say that man flew here to China to Wuhan province, visited, and then flew back home. Now, airport screenings, those have become stronger since then. Take a look at this video, because you can actually see our own CBS News team landing back in Beijing from Wuhan ourselves, and then getting temperature checked by officials right off the plane. Such interesting stuff there. But critics, they're now saying that China's move to try to isolate nearly 20 million people may just be too late.
Disinfection point.
This was a scene inside Wuhan's international airport yesterday. Just before we boarded our flight, you could see nearly every person wearing a mask in the terminal. But today, it'll look more like a ghost town, along with the main train station. Wuhan's 11 million people are being told they can't leave, a major step in the city's and country's fight against this virus.
Now, this city is about, it's larger than New York. And in China, people are, in New York, they're on top of each other. In China, they're really on top of each other. And they've got the place in lockdown, and so people are escaping in their cars. So now they're doing roadblocks so they can't leave.
Oh, good Lord. What a nightmare.
Nothing like having a cold in a communist country. A little crackdown there. And the World Health Organization might get involved here, but China does not like to kind of air their dirty laundry out in front of us. They don't like people knowing what's going on with them. So let's continue on with this on the World Health Organization and the coronavirus.
We stress to them by having a strong action, not only they will control the outbreak in their country, but they will also minimize the chances of this outbreak spreading internationally.
That follows several global health guidelines Wuhan is enacting. Doctors covered head to toe, and a quarantine of ground zero we visited before leaving.
It's closed and shuttered now, and there's a heavy security presence. We got out earlier to take a look, and an officer ordered, really yelled at us to leave.
In the U.S., the country's first infected patient is recovering at a Washington hospital. Health officials say he's in good condition, but concerned about his contact with others.
As of now, there are at least 16 identified close contacts. Local health departments started reaching out to them yesterday.
Dr. George Diaz admitted him to the hospital Monday night. He spoke to our Carter Evans about how they're treating him.
The robot that we're using has access to a special stethoscope, which lets me listen to the patient's lungs, heart, etc., and do an exam.
And the World Health Organization reconvenes today to decide whether to call this epidemic a global health emergency. But looking ahead, it's unsure what really is going to happen because these are just early days yet for what could be a global crisis.
This is some serious stuff here, folks. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
These guys are... you know, when something like this happens, and I forget the name of the movie, but there was a movie about a epidemic that started from swine, from a bat dropped some stuff in the swine, they ate the pig, then the people started getting sick, and it started spreading all over the world, and they were trying to contain it. And it's a real... It was a real gruesome death that they did. And you know, that's where a lot of the, you know, they had to kill a whole bunch of their swine over in China. I think it was like 100 million pigs.
Man.
And so this started from an animal, moved to a human, and now it's going human to human.
And it's almost hard, as somebody, you know, born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama, it's hard for me to wrap around my mind of like the size of, say, New York City or even Atlanta, let alone a Chinese city. With their dense, packed population, it's unreal to even think.
I mean, this
about.
this is bigger than New York,
right?
I mean, this is just a little podunk city in China that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, Beijing is pretty big; it's big, but I mean, here's 11 million people sitting in one place that you never heard of before until they got the coronavirus. Man, so this, and when I was there, everybody was wearing masks and things. Part of because of the pollution.
Right.
Also, they're worried about diseases skipping back and forth and things like that. Because I would say China is not known for its MD Anderson type medicine over there. So we had another situation also. This one is interesting. For those of you who have been to Seattle, this shooting happened down towards Pioneer Park, which is where all the homeless vagrants are. But at the very end, where if you're familiar with the city where the Hyatt, the Hilton, and the Radisson are, that's where the shooting happened in a series of clubs that were there. Let's listen in.
One of the busiest parts of downtown Seattle turned into a deadly shooting zone when several people opened fire and fled. Investigators say shots rang out Wednesday evening after an argument outside a McDonald's. One person was killed and seven others were wounded, including a nine-year-old boy. Most are expected to be okay. Police are hunting for the suspects. Nikki Batiste shows us how it all unfolded.
People started screaming and running, throwing themselves down on the street.
Terror and panic filled downtown Seattle during the busiest time of night.
I heard, bow, 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 bow. I knew it wasn't fireworks, and then I started screaming.
There was a dispute that happened in front of the McDonald's. People pulled out guns, shots rang out, people ran in various directions.
Bullets sprayed into the crowds around 5 p.m., hitting at least eight people as many desperately tried to escape the gunfire.
I heard a couple of pops, and then I heard a series of pops, probably about a dozen. And then I looked up the street in panic. Everybody was running and hiding, and I saw a couple of bodies down.
Police cruisers and fire engines lined the streets after at least 45 units responded. Videos show many of the victims on the ground with gunshot wounds as first responders and witnesses worked to save their lives.
People were running everywhere.
At least seven victims were rushed to the hospital. People on the sidewalk were shielding the crowds as a first responder treated one of the victims.
I'm sick of all this violence.
Oh, yeah, because
all of this violence.
This is the loving, peace-loving city of Seattle. Probably the hippiest city around, particularly down where this area is. The Seattle newspaper is kind of playing this in a little bit different way, that this is an argument, and it carried over from one location to another, and they imply gang-related type folks having a disagreement. But I tell you, it's all over the place. I mean, this is the third story we reported in this week.
Right.
Unbelievable. Soulja Boy, hang on for me. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Barry Moore, a true conservative with a proven conservative record. Barry Moore was voted by Yellowhammer News as Alabama's most conservative legislator in 2013. Barry Moore, a veteran who has served his country and has been honored for his support of veterans while serving in the Alabama legislature. Barry Moore, the first elected official in America to endorse candidate Donald Trump for president in 2015. Barry Moore for Congress, a proven conservative, a proven Trump Republican.
I'm Barry Moore, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Barry Moore for Congress, Enterprise, Alabama.
Hey, y'all, it's Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar. We're right down here on this beautiful Alabama River at the Montgomery Marina. Let's talk about the marina. Well, we rent out pontoon boats, and just anytime you like, you can call us up, get down here, rent you a boat, and cruise up and down the beautiful river. All you need is a credit card and a driver's license and everything else we can take care of for you. We also cook up fresh seafood from the Gulf. Y'all, we got a steamer. We steam up things like royal red shrimp deep from the Gulf. We have snow crabs. We have these shrimp from Argentina. Tastes like between a lobster and a shrimp. They're real good eating. Also, we got a grill. We grill amberjack, grill ribeye steaks, hamburgers, just all kind of good eating that you can check out at CapitalOysterBar.com. That's the menu to show you everything about renting boats, about the food, and also live entertainment. If you check it out, all the shows we got coming up over the next few months will be listed on there. So we all would come down here hungry and come down here soon because we're looking for you. And CapitalOysterBar.com will take care of everything you need to know.
What's your biggest investment?
more than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Young man that killed the Bartletts got arrested this morning.
Yeah.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Soldier Boy. Soldier Boy, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Thursday, Thumbs Up Thursday.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Absolutely.
I'd like to take it local. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I noticed that you might have talked about it already. Did you know that there was 3 homicides in Montgomery over the weekend?
I did see that.
That's
there was no...
Not normal.
Well, it depends.
I mean, you know, that's not the norm, usually. Maybe you know, I have 1 or 2, but 3, that's getting kind of high.
Yeah, well, it's that time of the year, you know.
It's like cherries are coming in season, and
yeah,
so it's homicide, yeah. I noticed I heard on your news earlier, too, that I'm not too keen about this, that the city of Montgomery is going to purchase the Garrett Coliseum.
Well, there's several people that are purchasing Garrett Coliseum. There's the city of Montgomery, the county, and the state is going to throw in some money. But the principal person who's going to be in charge of it is going to be the city of Montgomery, only because they're more capable of handling it than any of those other parties.
Well, you know, old saying goes, I used to work for the city, and trust me, I don't think they can handle it. Here's my concern is we're so knee-deep in debt already. I don't like to obligate us any more for any more money. I see that the catch-all was based on what I heard on the news that the state is going to give money to the city to modernize and update the building.
Right.
Okay. But we still have to pay for the building. So we're going to incur debt, correct?
No, I'm not sure how much debt we're incurring. When I talked to Todd about this, I was not getting the impression that there was a lot of debt that was involved. I'm doing this from memory, but if I remember correctly, there was $8 million worth of upgrades that had to happen, mainly the electrical and air conditioning. And then there's some repairs that need to happen. And then what they were going to do is they were going to sign over Garrett Coliseum to the... There's a group that runs it that is headed by the director, the Secretary of Ag, and they were going to recreate another operation to run it that was going to be made up of some different folks, including city officials, county officials, state officials, but a private sector component to it, which I like very much.
Okay. I remember last year when I got a copy of the city budget, I noticed the number most expensive... From the most expensive, number one, of course, was the police department,
right,
which I understand that because that's their job. The city really is to provide services to the citizens. Number two was the fire department.
Right.
I can understand that. Makes sense to me. But I was shocked by number 3, the interest alone on our debt. not even taking anything off the principal, but just the end, it had reached number three. I'm concerned. Well, I don't run my house that way.
Yeah, well, now, what you're doing is you're bifurcating some things, is that in the city budget is done by departments, and each department has a line item. The biggest expense in the city of Montgomery are employees. But what you, they're reflected in department-by-department budgeting. And so when you're comparing, because if I remember right, I thought Parks and Recs were number three.
It was number three, but coming up, you'll see that number three this year will be the interest on our debt.
How much was the interest on the debt?
I didn't write down the exact number or anything like that, but I was shocked when I saw that, and I had brought it up to my city council person, Glenn
Who is?
Pruitt. Glenn Pruitt.
Oh, boy, what a winner.
Hey, he's my man.
He is, but he's about to get you an occupational tax.
Is he? Well, we'll have a nice little scoot. We'll have a little talk.
Good.
Let me ask you a question. The occupational tax is unconstitutional, am I correct?
Not if you do it for everybody. It was unconstitutional if you were going to charge people who came into the city of Montgomery. What this is going to do is that everybody's going to be taxed with the exception of the military.
Well, c'est la vie to businesses.
Yeah, and there, in Glenn Pruitt's argument is, well, 1% for what we're going to get from our police and fire and the much better protected city will pay for itself.
Well, it depends. Some businesses it wouldn't be cost effective to move, but there are certain businesses that, you know, you're a financial guy. It's not like you have to have an office here in the city limits.
Well, right now, from what I understand, is that 1099 income is not going to be taxed.
Interesting.
Well, I remember when Bobby Bright was in office,
yeah.
And then the tax went up to 10%. They raised it up 1 cent, and they said, the old, it's going to be temporarily.
Yeah.
It's just a temporary thing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, in temporary, we're looking at what now? 2020, and we're still collecting that.
Yeah, of course.
But look at Prattville. Prattville did a temporary, and it was temporary.
That's because they have a really good mayor.
And also, the rationale Glenn Pruitt gave was that it was for police raises, right? And keeping police. I have a feeling maybe the mayor or other city council members have something different in mind for the money.
Yeah, exactly.
So that worries me.
See, the whole concept of occupational tax, those people that don't spend any money and take services and things and go back to their little place, okay? Now that we're all going to pay for it, it's all a kumbaya. We're all going to hold a hand and share a Coke together in a commercial. Next thing you know, we're going to do, what do you think that's going to do to businesses, Dan?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to be smart about what they do, and they're going to hire people like me to help them not pay it.
No, but I'm talking about the regular working man again. Here we go again. The Democratic tax is the answer.
Yeah, the folks that are going to get really hurt are going to be the state employees. Because they don't have any place that they can go. They can't pick up the capital and go across the river, though they may try.
Right. You're right.
And doctors that have their practices set up the proper way are not reporting a salary. They're paying taxes as a sole proprietorship. So they're paying a high business license tax, but they're not going to pay this 1% tax.
Right. I tell you, it's glad that if he's so strong and adamant about it, I'm so glad he got reelected before you mentioned it.
Yeah, no, let me tell you something. And if Glenn were to change his vote and not be pushing this thing would fail by 5-4. With Glenn for it, it's going to pass 5-4.
Why don't you get him on the phone, Dan? Why don't you get him on your show and take calls from his constituents?
Well, as we get a little closer, we may get a little more, let's say, involved in this whole thing.
Well, I know Glenn listens to your show.
I know. And last time I talked about him, he called the show. And I've noticed he hadn't done that.
Well, and you wonder why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he had to have that thought in mind before he, and Glenn's usually not a big supporter of taxes. I'm really shocked.
I am too, by the way. I think what's happening is he wants to
pay to play.
Well, he wants to. No, I don't. I'm not insinuating any type of corruption. I think what he.
No.
Glenn likes to be liked, and I think he wants to be liked by the police and some other folks. But let me tell you something. When you give somebody a raise, you're not changing what they're doing. If you give somebody a merit raise or merit pay or bonus pay, that's going to change their look at what you're doing. Or if you're paying somebody for signing up and give them, they become a police officer and they stay for 5 years, then what you do is you give them a 5-year bonus.
Right.
That would make absolute sense to me.
Yeah, they would get that instead of getting training and then leaving. Do your 5 years and then we'll give you that at the end of your 5 years.
Well, and it's not. And see, that's kind of a misnomer also. When people started saying that, I started doing some research on it, and I got Kevin Murphy to give me some numbers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the young guys that were leaving.
No.
It was the seasoned veterans that were leaving.
Well, that happened, same thing in the military. When the economy got strong, especially when Reagan was in office and the economy was strong, they tried to do a reduction, reduction in force, hoping that they would get, you know, the low-level people out, you know. But what happened with the economy being so strong, all your high-skilled from 1 to 5 and 5 being the best in their evaluation, all the 5s and 4s were leaving. And we were left from a fat cow to a skeleton.
Right.
And with people that were achieving 1, 2, and 3s on their evaluation scores.
Well, and another part of this, and you every time I had Todd Strange on, police was always part of our discussion. So we've gone from a force that was roughly 515 down to 482. We have money budgeted for 532. So there's money sitting there that we're not using. It's allocated towards police officers. They could change that allocation and give them bonuses and set up a 5-year program. Give people who've been there 5 years or give them some stability incentives. And then you'll stop. Yep. People will not be as fast as leaving.
Well, that's what we had in the military, too. When we had a pilot shortage, we were giving them bonuses to stay in. Or they were going to go and fly commercial 747s or 727, 37s.
Bingo.
That's what you got to do. You got to give them some money to incentivize them to stay. They do it for people who, like reenlistment bonuses for people in the Navy that are in sub duty. I couldn't handle that job 1 minute. And they deserve a bonus for it because of the high turnover rate. But a lot of the MPD officers, a lot of them I know, first, as soon as they're eligible to retire, they're gone. They don't even want to stay any longer.
Yeah,
they're looking for state jobs.
And I think the new retirement package being part of RSA is going to be another thing because that you can move laterally and keep your retirement.
So you could go over to work for a state job and just take your retirement over.
Right.
Wow. I guess we're going to lose more then.
Yeah, we've got a problem. You have a problem with what a police officer has to do, the risk that's involved, and how they're being treated, and then how they're being paid in comparison to other cities. Would you rather be an MPD officer, or would you rather be an Auburn police officer?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with it. And another thing is, too, money's not the cure-all, fix-all to keep these officers here in Montgomery.
Bingo.
Leadership.
Well,
leadership makes a big difference.
I agree with that, but it's let me tell you something. You can pay somebody more money, but it's kind of the coal miner syndrome is that you can pay them more money, but you have to live with the fact that the shaft may collapse on you.
Exactly. I had a friend of mine once tell me, he says, money was the answer to everything. If somebody paid you like $500 an hour to go into a horse barn and for 8 hours a day shovel nothing but horse manure into a wheelbarrow, you'd make some nice money that one day, but I guarantee you wouldn't show up the next day.
Or you wouldn't show up a month later, at least.
No, I wouldn't. I could not. Joey, help me out, Joey. It'd be a day. I couldn't handle it because I have done that before. A friend of mine I dated, she had a horse. And my goodness, it's steaming, it's smoking, and my sinuses are, oh, my goodness.
No. I taught horseback riding and at camp. The boys that were not good, they ended up having to. It was the boys that were not good, or the boys who wanted to go on special riding trips with us. They helped us clean out the barn.
Wait, is that person still your friend, Soldier Boy?
No
boom,
comment.
Boom. Okay, Soldier Boy, I gotta go. Randall, Chris, hang on. Damn our show. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Let's face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I take my daughter and her college friends out for sushi? Here's my card.
And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR, but with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, Lightstream.
Want an even lower interest rate? Apply today at lightstream.com/news and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/news for an additional discount. lightstream.com/news.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/news for more information.
I'm Wally Dempsey. I own Carter's World here in Montgomery. I've been here for over 10 years. We recently moved across town to 6383 Atlanta Highway. Without Blue Water, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are. They got the message out to thousands of people.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. A second day of arguments from House Democrats at President Trump's impeachment trial starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. Arkansas Republican Tom Cotton tells Fox.
What we heard yesterday were repetitive arguments over and over again based on little more than hearsay and the House Democrats' objections to Donald Trump being the president.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This argument that they heard nothing new when they vote against new evidence repeatedly rings very, very hollow.
Today's arguments focus on the abuse of power accusation against the president. A woman convicted of manslaughter for encouraging her boyfriend to kill himself has been released from jail 11 months into a 15-month sentence. Bristol County, Massachusetts Sheriff Thomas Hodgson.
Yeah, Michelle Carter's early release is based on state law. They're allowed up to 10 days, a good time per month. It has to be earned.
America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call him today.
CBNS Bank has digital banking solutions to help you keep up. Check balances, pay bills, transfer funds, manage your card, deposit checks, and much more. Learn more at cbsbank.com. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV. I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be?
Do what you like. Do a little bit. 272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Randall. Randall, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Good evening, fellas. Before I get to the best reason I call, I guess, going back to the Montgomery Civic Center, or whatever, I guess you call it, Carrick Coliseum, you think the reason that the Alabama, I mean, that the governor's doing this and being so supportive is because she knows that, you know, 5, 6 years, 8 years down the road, they're going to take the rodeo away? I mean, is that where it's headed? And have you heard anything about the hockey team coming there?
Yeah, I have heard about the hockey team, and that seems that if they do the improvements, the hockey team is a high possibility if we will lose the rodeo unless we change the costume, is what Todd Strange said.
Yeah, and they pulling up, I mean, right up around the 200, Shoney's Exit above in Chilton County. They got some big plans made for that place, no doubt. But I guess that's where they're going, you know, try to make a big, big rodeo place out in there. And I just know 10 years down the road.
The problem with that is hotel rooms.
Yes. And that's why I love the power company out here. It ain't all about power. And they bought up about every piece of land, side of every exit you could up down there. So, I mean, they planning for it. And I think the gas tax has a lot to do with it because Chilton County Road is so bad. Who's going to bring their $250,000 rig, you know, down to them roads? So I think it's all been building up to this. And it may be a good thing for the whole state, but I don't really see how, you know, located in that one place it could be good for the whole state. But anyway, I guess if they bring the hockey team in, I'll feel a lot better. I mean, you know what I mean? For the rodeos, too. And you hadn't said nothing. You don't say it near as much, and it really didn't catch on back when you pushed it hard. And I don't know why, but the thumbs up Thursday. And it always sticks with me all the time. Every Thursday, I've never forgot that. But I didn't know if you thought about maybe, you know, somebody could, you know, like Papa George, who's a big fan, big listener, talk. He got a promotion to a lieutenant. And, you know, I didn't know if you wanted to start maybe on Thursday week, somebody called in, shout out an officer or something. No, I mean, I don't know. I look for it. Like, when I pass somebody, I look in other cars, see if they doing thumbs up, and it really never caught on. And I just love the idea of recognizing them.
Well, I tell you something. Have you noticed the smile that you get on officers' face that know what you're doing?
They know.
they'll give you the biggest smile, and they'll give you a thumbs up back. Now, some kind of look at you and go, oh? But the ones that know what it is, they really appreciate that.
And I've got this question. I was walking in front of Target in Proctor and done one to a police officer, and somebody asked me, was that some kind of Donald Trump signal? And I was like, no, man, no. I said, this every Thursday if you do that, you know, cause that's how it kind of landed with some folks. But I don't know. I just want to shout somebody out, man. You really stuck that in my heart. And I do it, you know, every Thursday I see one, I do it. And they do know because they do listen, even though they can't call in. But thank you for doing that. And the reason y'all all up down this whole station, y'all make a difference, you know what I mean? And that's what I shoot for. And you don't hear from me as much because you already know what point you're going to make. And if I call and stop that and you don't get to it, then somebody else has lost something, you know, and I ain't gained nothing by just running my mouth. And there's not no other callers. It's just this is just my inside. And that's why, you know, I'm still out here listening to you. I always will. How I get people in. I mean, like, I'm not a new friend. He don't understand how can they be so, you know, if I'm saying all this is a lie, why is the news? And all I do is point to you. I said, you start right there. Just start right there. 12 o'clock, 3. Then, you know what I mean? He breaks down the news, and then you can work your way into it. And I thank you for that. But Papa George, good job, bro. And he is one of y'all's fans, so that's good, too. And I love Thumbs Up Thursday.
Thank you, Randall, for the telephone call. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Chris. Chris, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
In 2000, yeah, how are you?
How's Sandy?
Good. In 2009, the state Supreme Court said the occupational tax in Jefferson County was unconstitutional, but they obviously rewrote it because they still have an occupational tax. I mean, why would the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama say it was unconstitutional now, but they still allow it?
Because they were doing what Alabama Montgomery realized they couldn't do. They were taxing people that were working in Birmingham but not living in Birmingham. So when they taxed everybody, then it became okay.
Okay. Well, do you think that's going to – I mean, to me – an occupational tax is kind of a last gasp of a dying city, and it's because you have all these suburbs popping up. Birmingham's a good example, where people they leave the city, they work in the city, but they live outside of it. And it seems to me that's just kind of something that we're seeing now with a lot of more metropolitan areas where they're losing high-paid jobs because these folks are getting their money or making their money inside that city, and they're leaving, but they're not being able to receive the benefits of those people making a solid income. And so now what they're doing is the last gasp is, oh, we're not growing. We're stagnant here. We need more income. We need more revenue. They're going to go after people and hit them with a 1% tax. And, and then the problem I had at first, it was, oh, this is for the firefighters and the police and all that. And that's great. But then now here comes Parks and Rec and all these other people. So, I mean, I'm kind of a little confused on exactly what it's going to be used for. Are we going to get more cops? Are we not going to get more cops? Are we going to kind of try to increase their pay? Are we going to fix the community centers? I mean, I know they're kind of working on that, but it's kind of a haphazard thing that I'm hearing on what it's going to be used for. And we start talking about $45 to $50 million. I mean, we're talking about...
You're talking about $50-plus million.
$50-plus million. Well, I mean, there you go. I mean, our streets should be paved in gold if that's the case. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I'm watching this process from afar, but through other people's eyes. And basically what you have is the Parks and Recs met with them Tuesday with the committee, and they got their hand out. They're going, this is what we need. And you mentioned the community centers. There are all these community centers that are around town that could be refurbished and brought into, the world and do all these magical good things about it. You know, Montgomery's problem is we are losing the higher income paid people in the upper middle and the lower upper class folks. The upper middle, they can afford Montgomery Academy. They can afford St. James and things like that. But if you're in middle class, you're heading to Auburn, you're headed to Prattville, you're headed to Wetumpka. Wetumpka, I don't know if you've been downtown in Wetumpka recently, but I'm stunned at how nice it is down there. How many people walking around?
It's kind of like Tuscaloosa when they had the tornado. It kind of surged, I guess, because the amount of money coming in because of claims and all that. I mean, that tornado in Tuscaloosa transformed it. And if you look at Wetumpka, I guess it's the same thing. But the problem I just have is that I think people are going to figure out a way to get around this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just think about it, okay? So I'm a guy here working in the city of Montgomery. I got a bunch of W-2 employees. I'm sitting there. I'm like, where should I? I said, I'm renting my space here in the city of Montgomery. What should I do? Maybe I should go build me an office in Pike Road on the other side of the city limits.
And the question is, and when you say where somebody is working, I understand Pruitt was asked this question. When you say somebody is working, are they working for the business and where the business is located, or is it where they're actually physically doing the labor? So, for example, let's say a work crew comes into Montgomery and they're doing the interstate and there's a state contract. Are the workers that are working on the interstate, is their income at 1% going to be taxed by the city of Montgomery?
Yeah.
And nobody can answer that question. Or when you have service people and you're in Prattville, but they're doing a service call in Montgomery, do you mark every service call? Because the other thing that's going to happen, get ready for this, Chris, is you're going to see a service tax come up this year.
For the state or for the city?
For the state.
Yeah, we kind of let the cat out of the bag when we allowed the gas tax to go through. And, we're promised all this. And the last thing I saw was a $7 million something or other that Kay Ivey released, and it was big fanfare. I mean, $7 million in road construction is a drop in the bucket. That's nothing.
Yeah, there's a couple of feet.
That's just gassing up. That's just buying some asphalt. I mean, it's expensive.
Well, what they did, they spent the lion's share of the money is going to Mobile for the first year. And then the overage is going to the top priority that are on the list. But then they've got other members of the House and Senate who've got their hands out for a port up in North Alabama, for example. The Tom Bigby. On the Tom Bigby.
Right. Yeah, so that money's not really, you're not going to see roads like Randall's saying, Chilton County getting paid for the gas tax. You're talking about going to these mega site projects and things
like
that.
Yeah, and see, this is the problem when you have politicians that are doing something like this. I worked on the state gas tax piece of legislation in the Hunt administration, and we said right up front, if we start doing deals with everybody, that our original intent is not going to be able to be achieved because all the politicians are going to suck up all the money because they're going to want their little pet projects done. And that's why the whole thing failed, is we wouldn't do all the pork that they wanted. Chris, I got to go, buddy. You're welcome to hang on.
Real quick, Dan. The PJ. If you're inside the PJ, are you subject to it? Another thing.
Subject to what? The occupation tax?
The OCT tax, yeah. Because, you know, there's always...
Oh, that's a good question. I do not know the answer to that. I got to go. I'm up against the hard break. You're welcome to hang on if you want to. I'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Yep, it's Tiffany Coleman again. To tell you how I met my husband, Jeff Coleman. He's the one running for Congress. We met at the University of Alabama. He was a capstone man, a leader on campus. I'd heard all about Jeff Coleman, and what I really admired was how people said that he was smart, respectful, and a gentleman. We went on a blind date and dated all through college. I had a ring on my finger my entire senior year. And I learned one thing that no one had told me. Jeff was fun, and I love to laugh. He even has fun growing his business. I'll tell you about that next time.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
.27292228, that's where we are. The very best roofer in central Alabama, John L. Sullivan, said yes, everything will be taxed on any work that is done in Montgomery. He should know, he's the roofer de jour par excellence. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan. Oh, how about you?
I'm doing great. So what do you think about this for law enforcement?
Well, I remember myself and a couple of captains and a lieutenant, we put together a PowerPoint presentation and got the chief, presented it to chief police at the time, got his approval, and he went with us. We went down to City Hall. Bobby Bright was the mayor at the time, and the city attorney and the personnel director were there in the meeting, and they were proposing a new pay scale, and we said it wasn't fair to people that had mid-range people and people that had topped out in their pay scale. And we presented a proposal based on cities of similar size that had a progressive pay scale, that had a career ladder, you know, scale in the patrol division, and created a master police officer ranking, and every 5 years you'd get a significant bump up for seniority. And everybody was in agreement with it except for the personnel director. And she said, well, we don't pay people for just showing up for work. Well.
How about if they show up for work and you shoot at them?
What I ask her, if we show up for work and your house is getting broken into and we're responding to it, don't you want us to show up for work that day?
Yeah, hey, nobody's at the firehouse. Nobody showed up for work. What an idiot. Oh, my goodness. So that was your proposal? I actually read your proposal.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we Sam Austin.
Yeah.
That everybody thought it was a good, solid plan, except for Barbara, and she shot it down, and evidently she had the leverage with the mayor. But we started losing really good quality people because they had topped out in their, you know, in their pay scale,
right?
And then you were giving people a raise; they bumped it up at the front end, but they were ignoring the people in the middle and the people that had topped out in their pay scale.
That's why I said the seasoned officers are the ones that are leaving. It's not the newbie that's out there. It's not the neophyte. It's the folks that are transitioning and are stuck at that, you know, sergeant, captain, lieutenant level.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Dan. And I mean, they've been told about this before, and they put Band-Aids on it, and they'll do this adjustment or that adjustment, but they never really ever totally and completely overhauled the pay scale system to get it to where it needs to be. So, but I'm against the occupational tax. I just think it's the starting of, you know, we got one more tax, and the house next door to me sold. I'm in Pike Road, and it sold in about a week. And people are running from Montgomery for a lot of different reasons, so here, give them another one.
I have a friend of mine who's in the real estate business in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, very successful guy, and he said, these communities come up with the reason not to move here is, and then just fill in the blank, crime, education, taxes, all of the above. And he said, these communities are stupid what they're doing. They're giving people a reason not to move there instead of a reason to move there.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, I just don't, you know, if you knew for sure that's where the money's going to go.
But it's not.
And it'll grow government, and they'll use that money to grow government, and it'll just continually be more and more and more.
There you go.
Have a good day,
Dan. I did not know that you did that report.
Yes, sir. Myself, Matt Kelly, and the chief down now at Troy PD, McCall, over at Troy University Police Department.
Yeah.
The three of us did that presentation.
He used to be a big listener to the show until he got out of range of my voice.
Yeah, too tall.